My subject is not clouds, but love. And agape, you've probably heard the word preached about before. Agape will be the word that we study tonight as far as in the text that we are using. So this is your normal reference picture that we have of love. You know, the love emoji that people put, and then for emphasis, they'll add one or two or 10 or 20 or something. But these are definitions for the three different forms of agape, agape being the noun, agapeo being the verb, and then you have the adjective down at the bottom. So I highlighted the areas for the definition. To welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, to love dearly. And then brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, love feasts. These are all from Strong's lexicon. So beloved, esteemed, dear, favorite, worthy of love. That gives us kind of an idea, and we've heard, and the definitions are truly similar when you think of phileo being the other word that we talk about, but I show you this because they're valid definitions, but how do we define agape love in a practical, understandable way? Let's turn to John chapter 15. We'll look at verses 9 through 14. And as my normal custom, I will have the verses on the board. And everything is from the English Standard Version. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So in each of these verses where love is, it is one form or another of agape. But think about this. It is expressed as God's love for Jesus. What higher love can there be? I read John 3:16 at the beginning. And God so loved, so he loved the world, as Josh was talking about this morning. He loved us so much that he gave his son. So this is the concept that we need to understand when someone talks about agape. If you want to define it as God's love for his son, God's love for us, Christ's love for us, his love for his disciples, his love within the Father. I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then he carries it on. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he goes on in verse 13, sacrifice of this physical life is the greatest love that we can express on earth, if it has a purpose. And of course, Christ's purpose was ultimate for all of us. So going back a chapter to John chapter 14, verses 21 through 24, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So if you go to verse 23 there, if anyone loves me, we are anyone, right? Anyone who chooses to love Christ, who loves God. So last time I spoke, which was probably not as far away as you all would like it to have been, but that was about a month ago, I went into 1 Corinthians a bit, and I'll refresh your memory just briefly with one verse here, but the Holy Spirit, through Paul, addresses a problem that they had in Corinth. And he goes through divisions basically in chapters 1 through 4. In verse 10, he basically defines what the problem is here. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same judgment. So he's wanting the Corinthians to be of the same mind and judgment, not to be bickering, arguing, not to be divided. So this brings us to our main text. We're going to introduce this in chapter 12, but 1 Corinthians 13 is a passage that most of you have probably heard, at least at a wedding, many other places. But they had a competitive nature with the spiritual gifts that they had at the time. The Corinthians had different spiritual gifts, and they all seemed to want to speak in tongues. They seemed like that was the greatest thing that they could do. And the indication seems to be that that would make me better than the other people who just prophesy or do something like that. So now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. So in this, he's speaking of things that are spiritual gifts. They're not, we have, out of all these things here, we can help, we could administer, we can teach without the spiritual gift, but it seems that all these were gifts that the people had from the Holy Spirit that was expressing itself through them miraculously, if you will. But the end of chapter 13 is, and I will show you a still more excellent way. However great you think it might be to have a spiritual gift, he's going to show them something much better. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. So focusing on what I have highlighted here, faith without love is not being faithful to God at all, is it? So the concept of faith we have expressed in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Concept of hope in Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So, hope, if we are, if we see something, if we're involved in something, we no longer hope for that moment. I might hope to go to Disney World again someday. And that used to be a very exciting thing to me. Once I get there, that hope is gone because I have fulfilled that hope. And I have faith that, Lord willing, someday I might be able to go back there. But once I get there, that faith is no longer needed because I am there. So continuing on in the chapter, verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And of course, within this realm here, true love is that which seeks the Father, seeks the Son. It is love that is doing their will, not just some generic form of love that I decide what it is and define it myself. Love never ends. This is where it transitions to the importance of love over the spiritual gifts, over faith, over hope. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now there are challenges within this as to interpretation, as to when this applies to, but in the context of the spiritual gifts, I believe this does pertain to the spiritual gifts being done away with once the word of God was completed and received by men. The way that the chapter ends up no longer hoping for at least that point in time. It ends up for the completeness of love where faith and hope are gone, which we find here in verse 13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And that's the beginning of chapter 14 and verse 1. So really, he's continuing with the theme of the spiritual gifts, which gives us the idea here as far as the temporary giving way to the word of God until one day we see him. But we still have faith today. We still have hope. But love needs to abide with us in all things. And the greatest of these is love. From the idea and the concept here, the greatest of these is love because love is eternal. When we speak of God's love for the Son, does that ever end? God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, are eternal. They have been here from eternity. They will continue to exist. Love has always been here. And it will continue on. So it reigns over both faith and hope. It is the foundation of doctrine. God's grace is from his love for all who would believe. And the application of our love, going back to the beginning, of course, is to keep his commandments. Now, in our belief and in our faith, if we hear the word of God, we have to have faith in order to please God, in order to accept his truth. Now, that doesn't mean that it is faith alone. The Bible never speaks of faith alone, except in the negative, where we are responsible for doing works and not faith by itself. But we have to have faith in order to believe. If we think that we do works aside from faith, as Paul discusses in Romans, they're of no consequence. Those works are not pleasing to God because we are working of ourselves. The Jews had this problem. They were trying to do what they interpreted the law to mean, and they were doing their own actions to follow God without faith in God. And he goes into great details regarding that faith. But we have to have faith to please God, certainly. Once we have that faith, then, as Ephesians chapter 2 speaks of, we do the works that he has made for us to do beforehand to please him. But all of that ultimately has to be built around love. And when we first hear the word of God, how are we going to love God when we really know nothing about him? So love is something that we continuously have to grow in. So in the final verses that I'd like to read, we have Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Now, see, that one's really hard, right? Are we going to love someone that does not love us enough to bless them and not curse them? We typically draw ourselves toward getting upset and wanting revenge on someone, don't we? We get mad about something that they do to us or that we perceive that they do to us. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So you do your part, regardless of what anyone else does, there in verse 18. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Now that's an interesting, if we're going to love the person, are we wanting to put burning coals on his head? But in doing good, people are going to wonder why you're doing good when they mean you harm. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, these verses are really what the majority of Romans is pointing toward. This is the conclusion passage for concepts that Paul has given previously. But this gives us the concept of how we are to love, what our desire should be. And above all these things, our desire is to please God and to trust, in verse 19 here, to trust that he will take care of those who do not do his will. We don't need to worry about that. He will take care of those who upset us if they are in the wrong. But we leave that up to God. If someone is our enemy, we do what we can to change them from being our enemy to being our friend. So that is what I had tonight. If you go in 1 John, the concepts that were approached earlier, lest someone would say that this was all under the law of Moses that Jesus was speaking of, John brings these concepts into our lives in 1 John, in the letter he writes to the saints within the Christian realm. If we want to love God, if we want to please God, we do his commandments. Now, think about that. If we love God, should that be a problem? If our love is truly toward God, should it be a question of doctrine? Should it be a matter of us haggling over whether faith means this or that, whether we are saved by God's grace? Because we are absolutely saved by God's grace. God's grace goes in hand with his love for us. That's how he expresses his love to us, is through his grace. Now, he gives us what his desire is for us to do to receive that grace. And we need to follow through on those things. If you know the Word of God, if you have studied and you want to be immersed into him for eternal salvation, to be buried with Christ and raised up with him as a new creature, one that seeks to do that which is spiritual, no longer that which is physical. If that is your desire, please come forward now as we stand and sing.